Welcome back to another episode of the Divvy Crypto Podcast. I'm your host, Steve McGarry. And today I sit down with Nick Saponaro, the CIO of Divvy, as you guys know him from many of the previous episodes. We do a quick run through of World CryptoCon because Nick did a demo on stage on Token Tank at World CryptoCon. And there are some pretty big updates. If you haven't had a chance yet to check out the Divvy blog with updates from the winning of Token Tank, go ahead and check that out now. And without further ado, let's dive into the walkthrough of World CryptoCon, Chainwise, and some of the upcoming exciting events that Nick and Jeff, the co-founders of Divvy, are going to be attending. Let's jump into it. What's up, guys? I'm here with Nick Saponaro. How's it going, Nick?
Doing really well, Steve. You feeling recovered from our escapades there in Vegas?
Yeah, man. Yeah, slowly but surely. So for everybody that's tuning in, Nick, myself, and the rest of the Divvy team, we're all hanging out in Vegas for World CryptoCon, where Nick actually was on stage during Token Tank and got to demo the new mobile Divvy. So how'd it go, Nick? What was how'd it go?
It went well. You know, the whole week sort of leading up into the Token Tank pitch was incredible. And obviously it culminated with Token Tank, but it really started with the Divvy meetup the first night, where a couple of our ambassadors from Digital actually went ahead and set up this incredible venue where we bought some food for everybody, and we had a bunch of people come through, and everybody was talking Divvy, and that really, I think, established like a presence, you know, for the rest of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. That meetup was awesome. It was almost, the conversations I was having were entertaining, but watching people eat the food was more entertaining. Like, it would come out and it would be a sheet of sliders, and within 5 seconds, it was like piranhas. People were just annihilating. It was so under, like, you came up to me and we were saying like, oh yeah, it's probably, you know, 50 people showing up, and it was probably over 200 people. It was a lot of people.
Yeah. And it just, like, as some people would leave, you know, a whole new group of people would come back in, and it was a whole diverse group of people too. You know, you had, of course, you had your crypto influencers and people that are a little bit more well known, but there was definitely a large number of people that I think just were interested in the community aspect as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I just tweeted out a little while ago that the top three meetups at World CryptoCon were Divvy is number one, Crypto Wendy's, Bybit one was fantastic, that meetup. And then the FOMO Hunt one with Michael Nye was pretty fantastic as well. But Divvy, I was very impressed at the amount of turnout. And like you said, the diversity, you had your Bozak, you had your Bitcoin Ben, you had all these great personalities there. And it was just good quality conversations at the meetups.
I agree. And that was actually the first chance I had to show anyone the mobile application. We were showing off the UI demo, you know, the actual working application on my phone. And there were points where I had, like, you know, a group of 10 or 12 people around me just all looking at my phone. I'm just like tapping stuff on my phone. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. I'm glad people are so interested.
Yeah, that's right. My buddy Mark Moss showed up with some guys, and I introduced you guys, and you showed it to him, and it was great seeing everybody's reaction to it immediately, because I'd already seen it. So I was just kind of watching everybody else's reaction, and it was such a positive response. People were like, whoa, that the interface is just, you don't see that very often in a space, such a new space like this. So it was a good reaction.
Yeah. We're really fortunate to have such amazing designers and front end devs that are implementing this stuff. And I'm just excited for the next phase. We just entered the next phase, which is, you know, all the back end development. So actually building out the APIs and all of that stuff, connecting it with the actual blockchain, which is to me, more exciting, because anybody can put together a pretty UI, right? But the functionality is where, you know, rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. So we had the meetups. Those were great. In addition to the meetups, the actual conference itself, I mean, a mentor of mine years ago told me that all business happens outside of a conference at a conference. Yeah. and it's very true, like just talking to people outside of the conference itself. But in terms of the booth, how are things going at the booth and with people coming? Were you able to show a lot of demos to people that walked up to the booth? I stopped by a few times, but how'd that go?
Yeah, having a booth is always, it's a love-hate thing for me, at least. It's great because there's basically no barrier to entry. You know, people just come right up to you and start asking questions and get interested in what you're doing. Plus, of course, it gives you a significant presence in the expo hall. But at the same time, you do find that some conversations go a little long. And as you say, a lot of actual deals are done outside of the conference halls. But that said, I think it's a net positive overall. And I would definitely, I'm looking forward to our booth next year, of course. And it's a great way to demo the product. But I kept getting pulled away from the booth so much. It's hard to know what to do, right? Like, do I stand at the booth all day for 6 hours, or is it better to be circulating and trying to shake hands with people? So maybe next year we'll bring some more staff with us or something like that.
Yeah, no, you guys did a great job. I mean, when I was walking up and I talked to a few people at the booth itself, you know, while there were people circulating around, but in terms of, you know, the t-shirts and everything like that, it was clearly not the first rodeo of Divi sponsoring an event. I think there were a few there that were pretty new to the game, that just had the white, like the white sign behind and just a blank table.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised to see such, like some of the booths were amazing and you had like art hung up and canopies over top and things like that, which, you know, if you go to a more mainstream industries conference, you'll see some really intense booths with, you know, actual drywall and stuff set up in some cases. Yeah. Whereas here, because I think, you know, like you said, some of the companies are so new and young and the industry itself is so young, you do see a lot of just like table and chair setups, but that makes it easier to stand out. You know, we had a really nice booth set up thanks to the guys at Freeman and our amazing admin Edwina, just coordinating for weeks, making sure that everything was perfect. So I was pleased with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing that I did notice about the conference this year was, if you remember last year when we were both at World CryptoCon, there were Lambos. I think there were two Lambos.
That's right. Remember that? We had a Tesla this year, right?
That's right. This year, we've slowly moved up into the threshold of it being one Tesla instead of two Lambos. In a way, the Lambo was like attracting the people that are a little bit like gold watch wearing, kind of fly-by-night operations, maybe. And I remember when you and I talked about it, like even companies from World CryptoCon last year had like gotten in trouble for various things like scamming and stuff like that in between last year and this year.
Yeah, it definitely, you could tell that the rabble rousers had been weeded out this year. It was definitely
the rabble rousers.
I didn't know what to call them. I was trying to be diplomatic. But it's good to see, you know, we're seeing a more quality crowd coming around and projects that are built to last coming around. So it was, even though a lot of people were like, oh, it's really like low attendance, I was like, yeah, but look at who's attending. You know what I mean? It's a much better crowd than it was last year. And there's a lot fewer scammers, at least obvious ones. Yeah. Time will tell, I suppose, on some.
That's right. I mean, I remember that first one, I was kind of blown away. I was like, wow, people are really turning out for this thing. But this was a quality over quantity this year, for sure. Like all the meetups were full of like your diehard personalities and stuff like that. So it's a good sign. It's a good sign for sure. So how was Token Tank? Tell me about the other teams and what happened, what the outcome was.
Token Tank was great. We got to pitch second after the team that actually ended up winning first place, which was Mobi, and their solution I thought was great too. A lot of people were like, oh man, your wallet's way better. I'm like, dude, Mobi is awesome, and their approach is just different than ours, and it's still a good approach. And it was a really close call, I think. But overall, you know, I think there was some good projects in the tank. There was a couple that were a little bit strange, but that's okay. I mean, everyone deserves a chance to promote their companies. But yeah, overall, I thought the quality of companies was actually better than last year. Especially, you know, I think the first place winner last year was eliminated from the industry overall recently. But yeah, it was great. And winning second place, we ended up with a minimum investment of $25,000 from Edge 196. And we're actually, we're going to be talking to them over the course of the weekend about where that goes from here. So we were approached right after the pitch, and they were like, yeah, remember, it's a minimum of 25. You know, that's just a starting point. So that was encouraging, I think. Plus, we get to sponsor the event again next year, which we love, World CryptoCon, as well as some PR and marketing from Bad Crypto and Token Agency. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I'd say the trip as a whole was totally successful.
Yeah, and we were talking just before the call about Vegas in general and just how the amount of stimulation there is just overwhelming. And that was like, what, 3 or 4 days? You were there for longer than I was. I was only there for 3 days, but you were there for like, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah, I was there. I left on the 5th day. So yeah, I was there for 4 full days, which is plenty for Vegas.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, like last year, I think I partied a lot more, but I think because we were so heavily involved with the event this year, you know, I spoke 2 out of the 3 days and we had the booth. I was so concerned with like being hungover and just like not in my full, you know, having my full presence. So I wasn't really partying or drinking that much, but even still, it's just so much stimulus throughout the course of 4 or 5 days. You still get absolutely just trashed.
Yeah.
As far as your energy goes.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, on top of that, you can't really even tell what time it is or what if it's daytime or not when you're at your hotel. Exactly. So it's like,
there's no windows, there's no clocks. Sometimes you'll like walk by the entrance or exit of the hotel and you're like, oh, there is sun out still.
Yeah, it's a total trip. It's a total trip, but always a good event. I'm glad that they pulled it off again this year. But in terms of actual timelines, I know a lot of listeners are going to be interested in the mobile wallet. Now that like the images and the demo is out in the wild, what are we looking at timeline wise?
Well, you know, as you know, we don't give hard dates, but we're really looking good for a Q1 public beta.
All right.
And I'm pretty confident in saying that. Of course, this is subject to change. You never really know with developing software what might go wrong in the course, but it does look good for a Q1 public beta, and that would include, we're working really hard towards the first hard fork of the network, which implements a bunch of really awesome features on the blockchain, including POSV3 and atomic swaps, which are actually, we should have some test cases published for that this or next week, and some other really cool features, which you can read about on the blog. And from the public beta, it's just a matter of making sure everything works really well. And so as soon as it works really well, we'll launch.
Nice. And when we were having breakfast that morning, but I think the first day of the conference, we talked about like the Divi SMS bot.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. Can you share that story again with how that came to be? Because that was complete news to me of how it came to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were really interested in how we could access markets that didn't have necessarily access to smartphones, but maybe did have a cell phone. So we reached out to a partner who's sort of like a silent advisor to us out in the Middle East. And he's got a really good like understanding of how the Middle East and India works. And he's like, yeah, you really need SMS based transactional software. A lot of these people are already using similar software to move money around. So if you want to see adoption of cryptocurrency in these markets, you know, where they probably won't have a smartphone for the foreseeable future, it needs to be SMS based. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really, I didn't know that, you know? So I took that back to our dev team and I just kind of like threw it out. I was like, yeah, you guys, one thing we can start to think about is how we might implement an SMS based wallet. And within like 2 weeks or maybe less, one of our devs, Matthew, was just like, oh yeah, so it's pretty much ready. It's like, wait, what? Okay. And it really was, you know, we started testing it from that point and now we're in, I think, 13 countries with many more to come.
That's awesome. That's such a good example of a high quality dev that just executes on something like that wasn't necessarily tasked to him and just did it. Like that's fantastic. That's the type of person you want on your side.
100%. I feel like I try to, you know, obviously I'm managing the team, but I really try to manage everyone so that they have pretty much full autonomy and they can work on what they want to work on within reason. Obviously we have to be moving towards our goals. But so when I see stuff like that, I'm like, all right, this is amazing. You know, this is exactly how a team should work. I hate the hierarchical structure of so many corporate entities. You know what I mean? Like why is like one guy who's not even coding always lording over all the people doing all the work? I feel like everyone should almost be like a flat surface, you know, a flat plane.
Yeah. And especially because, you know, with distributed teams and most work going remotely as it is, it just makes sense to have autonomy because productivity will go up. People will have their freedom to come in and out when they want to produce and they'll produce higher quantities. Like all those experiments that have been done on the importance of remote work, I think with decentralization, it's really exciting to watch some of these projects pioneering it, like you guys and with DAOs that I've talked to in the past. That's a really exciting model where you have all these people working all over the world and contributing. It's a really, really cool thing that you guys are having development as a team work in an autonomous way, making sure that they're still going in the same path. But it was great meeting the team, the rest of the team as well. Like that was the first time I've gotten FaceTime with everybody other than, you know, your beautiful face, Nick. I it was good to meet everybody and put a face to the voice and the Telegram chat, you know?
Totally. Yeah. It's always fun meeting people in person that it almost feels like you already know them when you meet them and you're really just, you know, formalizing their face or whatever. It's always, I feel like in the beginning I was a little anxious to meet people who I'd only known online, but over time I've become a lot more excited about it.
Yeah, it does. It does feel more like a family over time as well. Like people can ride through the storm of crypto. It gets this common bond that you just have in common with everybody that you can take a bunch of hits from an industry that's brand new together.
It's true. Misery loves company, right?
That's right. Misery loves company. So what's coming next? You're headed out to an event, right? This upcoming weekend.
That's right. Cincinnati, Ohio for Chainwise. That'll be really fun. I'm really excited to engage with, you know, Crypto Crow and a lot of the influencer community again. And what I'm excited about is the fact that this event only costs the people going like $20. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm assuming it'll be mostly people from the Ohio tri-state area, but that's the type of conference that I think we really need in order to move things forward and get new people into the industry. Because conferences that cost, you know, $1,200 or whatever, it's good because obviously that creates a barrier to entry and you'll only be networking with people that are in the industry. But there still needs to be those events and conferences and meetups that are affordable and accessible to mainstream users, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree. And Jason asked me to come and speak there, but my in-laws are coming into town and I couldn't make it. But I'm glad that there's going to be a strong Divi presence there.
You're a good husband, man. A lot of people would take that as a as an excuse to get out of town when the in-laws are coming in.
Yeah. I mean, he DM'd me and I was like, man, I'll buy a ticket. And I bought a ticket just to support it. I was like, I'm going to buy a ticket to support Chainwise because I believe in it. I want it to be an annual thing and I'll come to the one next year, but can't make it to this year. So I agree that it needs to be that low ticket. Somebody gets off work and they're like, I'll pay $20 to go learn about a new potential investment. I think that that is what we need more of. We need less of the $2,000 ticket events and more of the, you know, $20 a day type Chainwise events, 100%.
I agree. And honestly, nothing against the bigger events, obviously, or the more expensive events, I should say. But no one really pays for those tickets either, do they? Like most of the people at the conferences we go to have gotten in through their company or through, you know, an influencer that they know or, you know, a dev that they know. I mean, I think very few people are actually submitting that $1,200 payment to the website, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if you just bring the price down and you'll have a lot more people inside.
Yeah. And it's like the mentality of, you know, all boats rise. And, you know, we often talk about the vertical integration of Tesla and Divi in comparison to that. And with Elon Musk, you know, he put his patents out there. Like he made it open to everybody so that the whole industry could rise. And I think conferences is a little bit of a stretch to compare it to that. But if you lower the barrier to entry, you grow the pie, you know, the entire space.
Exactly. Through collective action, we can succeed, but we need to make sure that we're not undermining that action by creating like selective incentives, one of which might be, you know, generating income.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, everyone I talked to was like, oh yeah, I got sponsored by this company or, you know, not many people had come freshly out of their own pocket to pay for those tickets. But moving on, after Chainwise, what's next event-wise? Like anybody that's listening, where can they meet you guys in person? The founders, I guess, between you and Jeff.
Yeah, I'll be heading up to, well, Jeff right now is in Malta at the AI Blockchain Summit. I think that goes until this weekend. And I'll be in San Francisco next week for a panel about crypto lending, which is also like a meetup and networking event. And so if you want to come out to that, definitely do so and reach out to me if you'd like to, you know, get added to my guest list. After that, you know, we have the holidays coming up. So things are going to start to get a little bit more sparse, I think, until, you know, after Christmas concludes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So two events or three events, including Chainwise, that the Divi founders are going to be at. I always like to mention that to the listeners so they know where they can find you guys. And I mean, you guys can DM me directly or Nick or anybody virtually, but in-person events, as we were saying, is always good to meet the founders. For sure. For sure. Cool. Well, thanks so much, Nick, for coming on and letting the community know what's going on and keeping everybody updated. This was a good kind of tear down rundown of World CryptoCon as to what happened and with the demo. And thanks so much for all the updates, man.
No doubt. Yeah. Thanks so much, Steve. I'll talk to you soon.